Thank you all for being here. I'm just really honored to have this opportunity. I got to tell you, it throws me off when I hear applause because, I grew up most of my life being invisible. So when people applaud, it's like, oh, they see me. I'm not invisible, you know. And I did that way, too, in school. You know, in school, I was not an A student and I was not a D student. I flew just beneath the radar, you know, because if I get too many A's, somebody's going to recognize me and give me awards and stuff. And if I get D's, I'll be called into the principal's office. So it's like I just kind of kept in that little middle bracket there to maintain my invisibility. Anyway, thank you. I'm glad to be here. My name is Karen. Did I say that already? It's okay. I'm still Karen. I really do appreciate what I'm feeling in this room. The experiences that are in here are some of what I'm going to share, and the strengths I'm gaining are going to help balance me out. I feel that, and the hope is in here, and it's in the program. I'm glad everybody's here. I remember being 15, sitting in the back seat of the car. We were leaving a dance hall, club, nights club, something. Anyway, I was 15. I was in the back seat. My mother screamed at my father and said, "You are an alcoholic." And I was confused by what I felt because, to begin with, you know, I'd lived up 15 years without feeling a whole lot, but I had this weird feeling, and that feeling was relief. When she screamed and called him an alcoholic, something had a label. Finally, thank goodness, something was named and claimed, and it's like I felt relief. And because I felt relief, I felt confused because that shouldn't be a good. That I just knew that was not the. You know, things didn't coordinate there. I knew that relief would not be the feeling that I should feel, but I did. I felt relief when she screamed at him and said he was an alcoholic, because then I had something to blame. I had I could blame the bottle, and I could blame him, and so I had something to point a finger at for all the crazies in my life. Thing of it is, my father didn't even start drinking until I was 14. By the time I was 16, he was just full-fledged and got into, you know, just he was a town drunk by the time I was 16. but anyway, my talk here tonight, and I'm really glad again to be here, but I peppered out my little notes here. I peppered them in with some of the affirmations that are from the Big Red Book on page 329, and I'm also going to mention in a lot, in fact, my focus point of my story, I think, is going to be on the promises, which are on page 591 in the Big Red Book, because that kind of, those promises guide me, and they kind of help me tell my story. And I didn't finish the crazy part. Like I said, my dad didn't start drinking until I was 14. And but there was still all of the stuff with that dysfunction. And I've got to jump ahead, so I'm sorry that my story's not chronological, but the truth of the matter is, I'm a lot younger now than I was when I was a kid, because when I was a kid, I was about 40 or 50 years old because I had to take care of everything. So that's when I was a kid. So if you ask me how old I am, I swear I got to do the math every time. You know, and I, you know. So, but anyway, but I do know that, you know, my story was much like in every other rooms in here in ACA. You know, there was the walking around someone's temper, and there was the incest, and there were the secrets, and there was the don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and you don't talk outside of the family, you don't talk inside of the family. It's like, you know, so all of these secrets and things going on, and life was just confusing to me. I remember being like, for instance, when I was in the sixth grade, I remember I was out with asthma for about a week. Well, it happened to be that in PE class, they were studying basketball that week. You know, they were learning about okay, there's sports people in here. But anyway, there's learning about things like dribbling and how to score and what end of the court to be on and what a team was. I show up in PE class and I'm pushed out there and said, you're on my team. Well, we all wore the same color green gym shorts. You know, I don't have a clue what team I was on. And I was in, and they were dribbling this ball, and they were going from side to side, and I was confused. I could spell basketball, but I didn't know anything else about it. And there I was expected to play, and that's the way that I felt like my whole life was. I didn't know the rules, and there were balls bouncing, and things were dribbling, and whistles were blowing, and people were running from one end to the other. And that's the way that my life was. So it's like, I was done with that. I mean, you know, I've been going to, my mother took me to church. My mother took me to church every Sunday. My father never went to church. My mother, quoted Bible to me, and my father used the Lord's name in vain. So it's like I had these extremes going on. And so I was a little bit confused. All I knew is this life was just too confusing, not knowing the rules, and I wanted to be done. I knew that suicide probably wasn't a good idea. Yeah, I thought about it even when I was a kid and all that, but I thought it's not the way to do it. So what I'll do, I'll fast forward my life, I'll get done with it, and then God will do that for me. Little manipulation there, trying to get, the big guy to zap me out because I was afraid to do it myself. So I just live life real quick and just get it done. So, okay, I made a plan. I mean, and I didn't do this forward thinking when I was a kid. It's what I realized I had done after I got into recovery, and I looked back and I remember and I could see what I was doing. Because what I did then was I started dating at 16, and then I got married at 17, and I had my baby at 18, and then I divorced at 19, and then I was done. You know, that's it. That's all you gotta do. So, and I'm still here. But anyway, not of my own doing. But he's not through with me yet, and I'm glad because I'm really enjoying it at this time of my life. Anyway, I want to. Yeah, I did things real fast then, and then fast forward another 30 years or so, and my current husband, I had stopped dating, totally stopped dating, for a full year. Nobody in my life on purpose, And by that time I had two sons anyway, and but then I met the man I'm married to now. The man that I'm married to now, I met him on a blind date, and I married him 6 weeks later. I like to do things quick. I'm slow, but I'm quick. Okay. Anyway, but I want to go back. I want to talk about the ACA, the promises of ACA a little bit. I want to mention here, Promise 1 says that we will discover our real identities by loving and accepting ourselves. I had no tools for loving and accepting myself. I didn't, I just didn't know how to do it. And I was kind of set up for that, for not knowing how early in my life, as well as things were set up for me not to have an identity, for that invisibility thing. I was born and named Donna Karen. And my father and his side of the family called me Donna, and my mother and her side of the family called me Karen, and my brothers called me Carrot, and my brothers also who really influenced me a lot. My brothers also called me stupid and stupode, which rhymes with commode, and so I've kind of grew up thinking a little bit less of myself. Plus, I was the only girl, and girls are less than, or in that time, that was my perception, that was my belief. Girls are less than, so that also meant that my future was pretty limited. If there was ever going to be any money for anybody to go to college, it would be one of the boys, and it probably would be the brother that was my best friend that I don't speak to now growing up. But I'd probably be him because my father hated my oldest brother, who was my perpetrator. And so it's like, of course, my father didn't know that, but because I was afraid to tell him. I was afraid to tell him because I was afraid that my daddy would kill him, because I later found out why. The family secret was crazy because nobody talked about it, but what we all knew was that my dad hated my oldest brother. And I found out when I was about 11 accidentally that that's because my father had adopted him, because he was my mother's child by previous marriage. So all of that secret's going on, and I was the one that discovered it. So anyway, excuse me if I jump around and forget where I'm at. I tend to step out of my field sometimes. Get back. The family secrets and being set up for not having an identity and being invisible. I knew that as far as the future goes, that I would have to grow up to be a wife and a mother, or I'd have to be a secretary. I didn't like that idea. Or I'd have to be a nurse, or I'd have to be a teacher. Well, I kind of was leaning toward being a teacher because I liked to play school when I was a kid. But I knew not to trust myself, because when I played school with my dolls, I would poke them with pencils, and I'd slap them, and I'd put them in the corner, and I loved my dolls, and I treated to something that I loved that way. And of course, I didn't understand myself, but I didn't understand that I was acting out the chaos and the confusion and all of that stuff that we didn't talk about and we didn't trust and that we didn't feel. And I was trying to work all that out, and so I beat up my dolls for it. But then that kind of changed my path, because I might have been a school teacher, and that would have been a real neat thing to have gone into. But anyway, I'm where I'm at, and I'm glad I'm here. Also with saying that, let's see, Donna Karen, wife, mother, sorry, excuse me. did I tell you I'm not a public speaker? Anyway, but it is okay to know who I am, and it is okay to think about things differently than my family. Had a lot of weird messages there. Second promise says our self-esteem will increase as we give ourselves approval on a daily basis. I started Al-Anon after I was married to my current husband, which is why I'm still married to my current husband. I had this wonderful sponsor who told me that I called her one day and I said, we've been married about 2 years, and that was my limit with any relationship. And I called my sponsor, my Al-Anon sponsor, and I said, I want a divorce. And she said, okay. She says, what's going on? I said, nothing. And she said, what was you doing? I said, I was washing dishes. She said, okay, has there been a change? And I said, no. She says, in the work, no stress, no nothing. I'm going on with the kids, and no. And this is going on, no. And then she just laughed at me, and she said, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. She said, that feeling you were feeling, she said, that's called serenity. Oh, she said, it'll get better. she said, start trusting it, you know. But she also gave me permission to get a divorce, but she did tell me I didn't have to make that decision today. And 30 years later, I don't have to make that decision today. So anyway, I'm very grateful for that. But I've been going to Al-Anon about 28 years, and I've rarely missed a meeting. But something, I just got to where I needed something more. I wasn't getting filled up. And I love Al-Anon because it literally saved my life. But I also felt like that the newcomers, the new people that came in the room, they needed more than what I could give them. Yes, I had a lot of experience, strength, and hope. But how are they going to believe me? I didn't live with an active alcoholic. My father had been dead for 14 years, and my husband's not the alcoholic. He's just an earth person. He can't help that. Anyway, so it's like I knew that the people that were coming in the doors, because it helps to have people that are pretty close to where you are in that growth level, and I didn't have a lot of people close to me in that growth level. But there was a man that came to our meeting, and he was a pretty regular guy, and he met me in the parking lot, and he says, Karen, here, take this book, I think you might like it. And I got my first big red book and took it home and flipped through it, and there I was on every page I was on that book. And so I found some meetings in Nashville. I hate to drive in Nashville, y'all, I just hate it. But I found some meetings in Nashville, and the reason that he gave me that book, there's this counselor in Nashville, and he said that Nashville used to be full of ACA meetings, and he said, there's just none here, and it just all died out. And then he, through the WSO, they sent him some of the damaged, imperfected books or whatever, or bent binders or whatever, and so he was just giving them away to people to get the message of hope going again. And so I got my hands on my first ACA book, and with that, I'm learning that it is, I'm slowly learning that it is okay to trust myself and that it is okay to know another way to live. Promise 3 tells us that fear of authority figures and the need to people please will leave us. When I found the ACA meetings, I heard these promises, all 12 of them read out loud. And with these promises, I just thought, well, to begin with, they kind of sounded authoritative to me. I thought they were pretty bold. This program's putting those promises 1 through 12, naming promises. I mean, like, that's, it almost looked like a document, like a legal thing you could almost sign. And I thought, that's a pretty bold program. But, of course, I have to do the work to make those promises come true. But it gave me something that I could actually look at and work toward. I was used to the promises, you know, that are just promises. You know, those things that are supposed to be real and that people intend, but they break them and they ignore them and they forget they said them and all of that. But this is a book. This is, like, written. This is, like, almost in stone, you know. It's like, wow, these are promises. And there was just a level of knowing inside my soul, inside my heart. There was a level of knowing that there was truth in all of these promises, all of them. And that I just, when I heard them read out loud, I thought, that must be what it's like to grow up. That's what an adult must be like. And I thought, I wanted to be one of those. I want to be that's what I want to be when I grow up, an adult. So the affirmation to that is, it is okay to say I am an adult child. Gosh, I'm glad to be here. Promise 4 states, our ability to share intimacy will grow inside us. And I got to tell y'all about an Al-Anon story, because this happened way before I got into ACA, but I went to this meeting in Nashville. I hate to drive in Nashville. But anyway, I went to this meeting in Nashville, and it was almost this big, and there were a lot of men in that group, probably more than is here in this group, and you know, it's more like peppered with females. And the topic that night was intimacy. Now, at that time, I'd been married around 25 years, you know, 24, something like that. And the topic was intimacy. Well, their style of sharing was the popcorn style, you know, where you go in and just whoever feels the need to speak will share. So after the chairperson told what the topic was, you know, there wasn't this long silence. A male voice spoke up and he shared. And then another man spoke up and he shared. And I was there with a girlfriend of mine, and I'm glad, because she was driving and I was a nervous wreck. But I was sitting there and I was listening to these men share. Now, some of the women shared too. But with each male voice, I tried to picture my husband, who I'd been married to for 24 years at that time. And I tried to picture him sitting across the table from me, looking me in the eye and saying those things. And what I felt was fear, immense fear and panic. And I thought, if my husband talked to me that way, I would run. I would run away. And I didn't know that I was afraid of intimacy. I didn't know. Of course, I mean, I've been married all this time, you know, which after I got into ACA, I finally told him of my sexual abuse. So I think we've been married about 28 years when I told him. And you know, and that was difficult because I was worried always, you know, about the perpetrators, you know, and his relationship with my mother-in-law, you know. So anyway, this program just allows us to push through, and I'm grateful for that. But I realized that in that Al-Anon meeting that when the topic was intimacy, that I didn't have it, and I was afraid of it, that I could not imagine a partner or an adult talking on that. But it is okay to ask someone to show me how to do things, and it's okay to give myself a break. Promise 5 says, as we face our abandonment issues, we will be attracted by strengths and become more tolerant of weaknesses. I used to be the opposite. I don't know about y'all, but I was attracted to the underdogs, and anybody that I perceived to be strong, I avoided those kind of people. A lot of my relationships, many of my relationships, were based on all they need is me, you know. So, just those people that needed my help, that was the kind of people that I would attract myself to. That has changed for me. That is has changed considerably. I'm paying better attention to the people that I do surround myself with. I look for strengths in people, and also I look for strengths in myself. And I am more tolerant of weaknesses, including my own weaknesses. So the affirmation says it is okay to dream and have hope. And that's what I do because of ACA and in these rooms. I have hope, and I share hope, and I breathe the hope that's just in the room. I'm glad to be here. Promise 6 says that we will enjoy feeling stable, peaceful, and financially secure. Now, a lot of people think, well, that ain't, you know, there's some doubt on that one. But my higher power is working that out in my life right now. My husband retired last year, and I still work a little. And this past summer, I kept my granddaughter, and which those things combined, my higher power has removed another layer, little layers, and I'm seeing the situation that I have been involved in for the past 10 years that I, honest to God, didn't see before. But I have been enabling a family member and for 10 years. And the only way I've figured that out is my husband's retired and I'm working a little and we kept the granddaughter and we're running out of money. I'm thinking, why? You know, we've always been able to do, and I don't think that much. But then I realized, you know, making a house payment and not charging anybody rent to live there, because after 10 years, it kind of starts adding up. But I honestly didn't see it because I love my son, and I was loving him to death. So, and when I say that that's being worked out, it is. I'm starting to set a boundary. I'm starting to communicate and saying, okay, you know, there have to be changes. And I have to make these changes in order to receive that promise of peace, stability, and financial security. You know, that's what the promise says. That means I've got to really look, where's my money going and where's this? I've got to work my program with my money too. So I'm glad that God has shown me this opportunity to do this. And it's tough. But it's changes and decisions have to be different, and they have to be made in order to better ensure these things for myself, as well as creating the opportunity for my son to succeed and for my son to do all of that. You know, I'm standing in his way, and I don't like hearing that as a mama, you know, because that mama gene's real strong, and you know, I just want to help my kids. Well, that ain't helping him, and I didn't mean to not be helping him, but I'm learning to help myself, and that sets an example for him, and you know, so we collected. Of course, I'm here in California, but I talked to my husband, and he said, "Guess what? We got rent." All right, that's awesome. You know, so it's working. It's coming true. My higher power is working this out in my life. Affirmation is, it's okay to say no without feeling guilty. We need to remember those things. I know I do. I have to be reminded of them. Proverbs 7 says we will learn how to play and have fun in our lives. Do y'all know how to play? I mean, really play, you know? You just, something to think about. Only an adult child could really understand, I think, the enormity of that promise, because that's a pretty big thing. Of course, Mary Jo and I are here on business. We came to California on business. Our business was to take place, let's see, we got here on Sunday. Our business was supposed to be done up on Wednesday, maybe Thursday morning. It was Thursday morning, but it was also to the long hours, from early morning hours to long evening hours. And it's like one more box, one more paper, one more folder, and it's like, and I could feel us doing this. Because, I mean, don't mean to bring you into this anyway, but it's like, you know, we had set aside, since we're coming this far out, I mean, I've never been, I mean, this is California, y'all. This is great. And it's like, I'm trying to justify that it's okay to play and have fun. So we're going to work this many days, and we're going to really work real hard so that way we can play till Sunday. We're not going home till Sunday. But it's like, do I really have to work that hard? So that's something that I'm, you know, the affirmation for that one is, it's just like I said, there's always one more thing, and I tend to be a workaholic and that sort of stuff too. But anyway, it is okay to have fun and to celebrate. That's the affirmation that's in the book. And I'm thinking, sheesh, you know, I can celebrate that I just got up this morning, you know, I woke up. So there's a lot of things to celebrate, and I can do that without feeling guilty. Anyway, number 8 promise says, we will choose to love people who can love and be responsible for themselves. Now, that is another promise that is currently being addressed in my life. I'm not really taking inventory of people, of other people, because I really take that sometimes to the extreme. That's what I do sometimes. But I'm not taking other people's inventory, but I'm just starting to notice the people around me about, you know, how are other people, the people in my life, how responsible are they at taking care of themselves? Because that's how I learned, by seeing it modeled. And I didn't see it modeled, and I didn't have it validated when I was a kid. I didn't have my feelings validated, and like I said, I was that invisible one. I was just the invisible one. Anyway, it is okay to detach with love. The 9th promise states that healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. Boundaries, for me, they create a sense of safety, I don't understand what I said. Let me find my written part, because sometimes I write it out better. But I tried to take notes so that way I can maybe talk and look a little professional. Healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. I've had to learn about boundaries. I didn't know that I had the right to set them, and that I didn't know that I had the right to be respected. Boundaries do create a sense of safety for me, which I didn't feel too often. But in ACA, I'm learning how to set boundaries, and I do that because I watch you and see how you do it, and I see how you're keeping yourself safe. And I mimic that. I try it, and it works, and it becomes a little bit easier. And because it is, it's just practicing, you know, showing up. It is okay to trust myself. It is okay to say that I like this or I like that. And it's okay to feel angry. Let's see. I think I skipped a page. Fears of failure and success will leave us as we intuitively make healthier choices. That is one of my favorite promises, because somebody said it out loud. Fears of failure and success will leave us. There have been a gazillion books written on how to overcome the fear of failure. Nobody has written a book saying how to overcome the fear of success. I'm scared to death to succeed. I don't know what to do with success. I don't mind failing, you know. But get, you know, piece of cake to fail. Because all you get, you know, when you're down, you only go that far. You can't, you know. And, but when you're up, it's limitless. And I have difficulty understanding that or getting a grasp on that. But the fear of failure, like I said, I was kind of taught in just maybe it was the invisible message. I don't know. I can always pull myself up by my bootstraps. I can just always do that. So if I fail, it's all right. I can try again. And that there's never any shame in failing and trying again. But it's like I get to a level of success on something, and then invariably I will do something, find some way to sabotage myself. Like lose my place in my notes or whatever. But I do. And but it is that I've got, you know, I'm kind of an older lady, and so I've got a lot of certificates and a lot of licenses and a lot of things, you know, a lot of schools, and just I've done a lot of stuff. But every time I get a certificate, even now, and I'm embarrassed to say it, but it's my truth, I'll get a certificate for something, go to class for something, and I'll put it in the folder with the rest of them, and I'll say, that little committee in my head says, but that doesn't count. You know, that doesn't count. And I just put it aside. And, you know, and that sucker is about that big. But it doesn't count, you know. And the voice is getting less while I'm in ACA, or since I've been in ACA. That little committee that tells me it doesn't count is getting a little bit less, but a little quieter. But it's still there. It still kind of talks to me a little bit. It is okay to say I am an adult child. Promise 11 says that with the help from our ACA support group, we will slowly release our dysfunctional behavior. And I think that the key word in that is slowly, because I wish I could just get it and grasp it and do it, but it's like, no, I just got to do it today. It is okay to reparent myself with thoughtfulness. It is okay to work an ACA program. We were talking at supper, and where'd she go? thank you. And we were talking about the how do you get from here to there? And what I'm referring to is the tree on the workbook page. Y'all noticed, you know, that front tree. That's all of our good old character defects. And on that back tree, it's emotional sobriety. And how do you get from here to there? How do you get that? That's the whole integration. And how do you release your character defects? And how do you integrate the character, the word? Thank you. and it's like, yeah, the laundry list. How do you integrate the laundry list? And release the defects of character. And you do it by the time the front of the book and the back of the book, I'm not saying it right, Emma, but from the front of the book to the back of the book, you get there page at a time, one page at a time. And those workbooks are great, guys. Working this program is great. Get you a group of people together, get you a sponsor, and you go through those. And you don't go to step four and stay. You work it. You just do it. You work it and you get it done. You're not going to get it done perfect. And then after you get to 12, you know where you're going to go again. You're going to take a little bit of a break. Then you're going to go back. You're going to go to the get you a new workbook, because hopefully if you worked it right, it's going to be scribbled all over, earmarked, and dog-eared. And, you know, so, but get a book and work it. That's a wonderful tool. The 12th promise says, gradually, with our higher power's help, we will learn to expect the best and get it. And I think that that is one heck of a promise also. And the affirmation is that it is okay to seek my own higher power. And I do believe that it's okay to believe in a higher power. I do believe that it is okay to believe in a creator or a benevolent spirit who intends for my highest good. I'd have the God of my understanding. I don't have the God that was given to me necessarily through my church. I need to tell you about how come I don't go to church. I mean, and no offense to anybody here, but I used to go to church, and I had a God of my mom's understanding and of my religion's understanding. And I respect religion, all religions, and I even respect the one I was raised in, because it did give me that grounding. But Easter Sunday, my little kids were in the house, and my stepkids were in the house, and car pulled up in the driveway, and it was my husband's ex-wife. And she got out of the car, and she came into the house, and she's dressed in this big rabbit suit, and she looked like Harvey. But she comes into the house, and she gave candy to her children, and then she left. And it broke my heart and made me mad, and I was dressed ready to go to church. So I got in my car, and instead of going to church, I went to my Al-Anon sponsor, or actually my Al-Anon friends. My sponsor was at church, so but I went to another. I went to my Al-Anon atheist friend, who told me a lot of times, your higher power told me to tell you. We had a unique relationship, anyway. But I went to her house, and you know, she hugged me. She brought me in. I screamed about what had just happened and how upset I was, and cried and stomped. And then she made some hot tea. We go out on the patio, and I'm watching these little ants. And these little ants are carrying this piece of bread from one end of the porch to the other, to the patio to the other. And they were just working so hard and doing what ants were supposed to do. And I had such a sense of peace to know that my higher power was not just in a building somewhere. And that was significant for me. And after that, I began my... That's when I really began my personal one-on-one relationship with my higher power. Because those little ants didn't know that they were working on Sunday. And I was shamed for that a lot. Because when I was a kid, I loved to wash cars. And I'd wash cars, and my mother would catch me washing a car on Sunday, you know, my daddy's car. And I'd get shamed for that because I was working on Sunday. Well, I wasn't working. I was a kid. I was playing in the hose pipe. Car just happened to be away, you know. So soap bubbles and stuff. So, but anyway, but that was kind of a spiritual awakening for me, and it was a stillness and a peace that I still carry inside. And I'm just really grateful to know that I'm loved as much as those little ants were that Sunday morning, even though they were working. So anyway, and I also believe that today, I choose to believe that somehow, somewhere, sometime before August 19th, 1952 at 7:15 a.m., what does that promise say again? It says, gradually, with our higher power's help, we will learn to expect the best and get it. I believe that before that date and that time, that I was a thought and an idea and a plan in the mind of God, and in the mind of God. So why would I not expect the best? You know? So that's for my notes end. I'm not sure whether I'm through or not, so I have to talk to my higher power a second here in my head and in my heart and see if there's anything I need to share. I don't think I've quite hit the 100th minute yet, but I'm glad to be here. And I think that I'm through with the story for tonight, but I really appreciate this opportunity. Thanks.